to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm your host, Donovan Beery, and this is our final interview show from the HAL Live Conference here in Chicago 2015. I've got to thank the staff at HAL for hooking us up with this room in the back. This is actually the nicest recording room we've recorded in one of these. Proximity's great, noise is great, size isn't ginormous, so you don't hear this massive echo. But today we have with us possibly the guest from the furthest distance that we've recorded from, Ken Lowe from Blow.
Yes, hello.
Ken, and you're actually, we record almost all of our shows live, so thus being based in Nebraska, which is in the middle of the country here, we don't get a lot of Hong Kong-based designers. But welcome to the show, welcome to Chicago, I guess.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
So how long have you been running Blow?
I started my own company in 2010. So until now it's I think it's almost 5 years already.
Oh wow. And you guys focus on packaging, is that correct? Did I understand it?
I would say it's not only focusing on packaging, but we do many packaging projects. But actually we cover many different kind of areas like branding, environmental graphics, promotional campaign, even website, app, wherever projects, if interesting, we would do.
Okay, I just noticed that you guys did some packaging samples for Nina Paper down there.
Yeah.
The Dyeline, and you're here with the Dyeline conference part of it. But
yes.
But those packaging samples are amazing and very, very nice.
Thank you.
Now, what brought you into design? Like, how did you initially find out about it, and what made you interested in this profession?
I think just like all of the people, the story is the same. When I was a kid, I liked drawing comics, but really comics, not those.
Who's your superhero? I'm a big Superman guy. I don't know.
Wow, many.
Okay.
I would say recently, let me think. Maybe Iron Man.
Yeah, he's become popular. Like when I was reading comics 20 years ago, no one knew Iron Man, but the movies came out.
But in my childhood, I think I will watch more Japanese comics. You know Doraemon?
Not too much.
Not too much. It's a cartoon. Yeah, and then I like to draw comics. I learn to draw comics, and then the comics share the same idea with graphic design, I think, because it's for me, when I learn comics, the teachers told me is try to keep things simple and try to observe one thing, and then you exaggerated the characteristic. It's just like working on a graphic design. And then after my secondary school, I just focus on playing basketball and focus on my comics, and then I can't get into the university. So finally, I decided to work in a game center as a supervisor.
What's the game center?
It's a family game center. Like you can play.
Oh, it's just a video game arcade.
Yes, something like that.
Oh, great.
Something like that. And then after 1 year working there, I feel very depressed because my dream is being a designer. So finally, I persuade my parents that if you work hard on design, I believe still can earn some money. Because you know, most of the parents don't believe a designer can earn money. They think designer is an artist. But I try to explain to them, actually it's not. So finally, I persuade them and then go back to a design school and study. And then
are there a lot of design schools around? Where are you from?
My school is there is a Hong Kong University, and Hong Kong University have a community college, and I study a program called visual communication. It's a higher diploma.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and after 3 years studying, and then I get a distinction. I'm the first the highest score student in that class, and win some awards. And after that, I go into two famous Hong Kong design firm and work. So in 2010, I start my own business.
Now your business is Blow is the name of it. Where do people go to find out more information or to see some of your work for those listeners that wanna
if people want to check out Blow's work, you can simply go to our website www.blow.hk.
All right, blow.hk. I forget. We, you know, we just get so remembering that, oh, it's .com, but
yeah.
over there it's
because already .hk. Have a, I think it's a pornographic website. I already take the blow.com. I always receive many junk email.
Right. So Ken, how many people work at Blow?
Until now, we are a small studio. I have say 4 designers, and then with my wife is responsible for some account servicing, administration work for me. And so total is around 6 people. Sometimes if we get a big scale project, maybe we still hire some freelance designers.
So you get about 6 people there, and then you said when if you get a larger project, you just bring in contractors, or?
Yeah, sometimes we find freelance designers, because you know I just want to keep my studio small to make it more flexible.
Okay, and who are some of the clients that you've enjoyed working with over the last 5 years?
Well, I think I do enjoy working with every client, but I think the most happy client is probably the Poly Trade Paper, because after we work with them, and then we did a lot of good paper projects, and this paper project let more people know about Blow. So I really appreciate that.
Welcome back, Ken.
Hi.
We've been having some weird sound things, so hopefully the show comes out, or maybe it'll just start now, and who knows what we talked about before.
Yeah.
So we got Ken Lowe with blow.hk.
Yeah.
Check out their work. And we were just saying, this is like your first time to the United States?
Yes.
So
first time.
Have you been out, now, and you live in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Did you grow up there, or did you move there from another part of the country?
No, actually, many people ask me this question, because sometimes when they saw my work and think that are you study overseas, something like that, I can tell you I born in Hong Kong, study in Hong Kong,
okay.
Failed to go into university in Hong Kong, so
right.
Everything just Hong Kong. And then I would say I'm living in a poor family when you can say my family is not rich, and then I have no money to travel. So after I think after I set up Blow, I start to have some money, and I go to Korea, I go to for example only Macau or China, but it's definitely my first time to travel to America.
Great. And how does that affected your, like, finally getting to travel and go out, has it affected like how you see design and how you see what you do?
Yes, I think it's very important, especially I live in Hong Kong is a city. The density is very, very high, population is high, very packed. So we even can't see the sky, you know. So I always treasure the chance to have a travel, try to observe the city, observe different countries, people's lifestyle, behavior, their packaging, go to their supermarket and study how they do their packaging, what's their logo looks like. Something like that is I always enjoy.
Okay. And what have you noticed, like what was the first thing you noticed that was different once you landed like here in Chicago compared to Hong Kong, like as far as packaging?
The first difference is the weather. The weather is you know, I come here
it's gonna be hot today, but 2 days ago.
Yeah, I come here on Sunday, okay?
Okay.
On Sunday is a sunny day, quite hot. And then I no need to worry that I really need to buy a jacket, etc. And then, but second day, suddenly raining. We don't have an umbrella. Raining, starting to get very cold. And the third day, suddenly very foggy. It's totally free.
That's when I came in. I came in, you couldn't see more than, you know.
Yeah, totally free, a very extreme weather for me.
What do you think, what's the biggest difference between like the packaging that you've seen over like at the supermarket from here to Hong Kong?
I think...
like anyway, current trends that you've noticed?
I think the one of the difference is I go to some supermarket because American is a big country. I don't know which brand is originally from Chicago, but I think there's no original brand from Chicago in the supermarket. Maybe it's from other cities. But in Hong Kong, most of the brand is really from Hong Kong.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, because around here, you do see... I mean, cities do have a lot of regional and city stuff.
Yeah.
But the stuff that gets advertised and that has the money poured into it is nationwide advertising.
Yeah, yeah. So when you go to a supermarket in Hong Kong, you can really feel the local market they need. So in here, for example, I go to the supermarket City, the brand City.
Sure.
And also Italy. You can find many different brand from other countries. And also the main difference is all the packagings here is just English. I like it. Whereas keep the layout very clean.
So when you do the packaging over there, it's multiple languages, is what you're saying?
Yeah. I would say being a Hong Kong designer is very difficult. Because every time you are not just tackle about the English, the fonts, but at the same time how to match with the Chinese fonts. Also the layout, everything, how to take the balance. Especially the typeface of the Chinese fonts is very complicated. And then versus the English fonts, it's just so simple. So how you take the balance when you work on the packaging, you need to show both of the language. It's very challenging.
Yeah, because I mean, we always complain as designers about having, you know, client always wants more copy. I can't imagine the client saying, okay, not only do I want more copy, but I want it in two different languages next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult. For me, I already get used to it for playing with two language. So I still very envy the designers in the Western country. They don't need to face this problem. It's so easy. For me, it's really easy. If the client send me some wordings, ingredients, etc., information in English, I just flow. But when the client send you two language, you need to think.
Right.
Yeah. It will also spend me more time when working on a project. So that's why, in Blow, we always work overtime till the next day. I can tell you, for example, in 1 week, from Monday to Friday, sometimes almost every day we work till the 5 a.m.
Whoa, okay.
I think this will never happen for Western countries.
You hear of... In the advertising profession, not the design profession as much, but in the advertising profession, you hear of people putting in heavy days, but not till 5 in the morning.
Yeah, because I think it depends on the client. Because the Hong Kong's clients are very demanding, and the whole speed of the city is so fast. People just living in this kind of rhythm, you know? They are not leisure at all.
Right.
So everyone is just compete with everyone. Everyone is a competitor. So you got to be very efficient, you need to have a productive, so that you can run your business smoothly in Hong Kong.
Okay. Now, when you're over here, are you going to get to see anything other than Chicago? Or is this kind of your only stop on your stay?
I also go to New York.
Okay.
Yeah. So just have a look.
So you've seen two of our biggest cities, so.
Yeah, because, you know, as I told you, we are already very, very busy. So I will treasure this chance to go one more place inside Chicago because in Chicago, we just every day wake up and go to the conference and then have a lunch, dinner, and conference.
Right.
So I just don't have too much time to feel the city, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you, and we'll be right back with Ken Lowe. So you're saying, like, other than packaging, you guys do the full gamut. You do the websites, packaging, print design, identities, logos.
Yeah.
So when you do a logo, do you have to put that in multiple languages too, or do you have to take words out so that it translates? Like, what's the biggest trick?
I think for me, logo is it's like playing a
Rubik's cube. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just a tiny graphics. But you need to represent a company, a big vision. So as a designer or a logo designer, you always put all your magic on it. You need to think very carefully what is useless, what is useful, what message you can deliver. And you can just deliver one or two simple messages in this icon or this mark. So for me, logo, I don't think logo has a... as a trend, I don't think it's a trend. It should be more timeless, I would say. But of course, nowadays, because already appear many different kind of new media, so it changed people's mind of how a logo should be behave.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a presentation from Bill Gardner 6-7 years ago, and he was talking about there's a lot of logos that never get printed. They're just online. They're for a website.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the old rules with where we make sure it prints in black and white so it can be fast.
Exactly.
It's like you can have a moving logo if it's only ever going to show on a website.
Yeah, yeah. So this really changed some of the direction of doing a logo. So for me, when I was in school, I also thought that logo should be very clean or very bold, very simple. But I will agree part of it. The idea needs to be simple. But nowadays the logo can be more dynamic because you get the apps or you saw the logo from the website more than you get the name card, the letterhead. So why not to make something new? But only one thing you need to remember is logo is still something that you need to think very carefully what the company or a brand want to deliver. So other than that, you can use whatever execution, because nowadays the technology can help many things. For example, a signage. Before, why people do those geometrical logo or simple form logo, it's easy for doing the installation signage.
Right.
But now you can make a digital signage. You use many different kind of materials, different kind of technology to work on a four colors logo or a multi colors logo. So no limitation anymore. So for me, it's logo is not talking about the simple execution anymore. But the most important is the concept behind this mark, this single mark, what you want to deliver.
Okay. And who do you think, who's done a really good job of that you look up to recently? Like any ones that you have examples of, even if we've never heard of them?
I would say not recently, because, but I do have some design idol, I would say.
Okay.
I have a Japanese designer, it's called Kashiwa Sato. And what he did, maybe many people will know, actually the Uniqlo, you know Uniqlo?
Okay.
Uniqlo, the clothing brand. Uniqlo is did by him. But of course, this is not... this make him more international. But actually, besides this brand, he worked with a boy band in Japan called...
Sure.
In Japan called MAP. His thinking is totally different. You know, he has an advertising background, but it's very artistic, I think. Like... I think 6 years ago, 7 years ago, he worked on a campaign for mobile. He just put five colors on the billboard, nothing. So you see nowadays how Apple's do, 5C, the series, exactly, but he still put the phone. But that designer just put five colors. even avant-garde, I think, even modern. So I just so admire why he thinks he can think such this way as courage to just so simple.
Right.
Yeah. So he also say as I would say inspired me a lot is about the attitude. How many courage you've got, how much you believe your design can influence people.
Okay, and where do you see the future of design, like in the next 5 years? Where do you see it going, or where do you hope it's going to go?
I think maybe we divide it into two areas. I mean, I also have some friend is a graphic designer, but start to work on more digital project, and they try to learn, because as I said before, printer matter maybe is a big deal to promote a brand or in a campaign. But nowadays almost everything, your the latest news, latest promotion you've got is from your cell phone, from internet. So maybe in the future there will be more and more graphic designers. It's not just working on printer methods, but the majority is working on digital platform.
Yeah, and I've seen that around here. That's obviously been the path. Everyone knows it's coming.
Yeah,
and it's been coming.
Yeah, but for me, I think I'm not very into that. I'm not, I like the technology. I like,
right.
But I just don't like to work with those technology people. I'm not traditional, but just because I think that because of the digital media grows so fast, we need to treasure some of the traditional design. It's starting to become a history, starting to become a luxury. For example, the paper projects we did. I talk in the seminar that if you do a beautiful birthday card to your friends will keep it forever. If you just like or send a happy birthday on the Facebook, your friend will just say thanks, and then maybe just one day the post already at the bottom, and you will never see that again. This is the value of a behavior.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's digital media make everything efficiency, but don't make things timeless. So I will still, for my job, I will still like to produce something that can probably become a history or become something is like an art that you can still pass to many generation. For example, maybe in 50 years later, there's no Apple, another brand comes out.
Right, which isn't necessarily unrealistic. Like, companies come and go.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, right now we're using the Adobe Creative Suite for almost everything, but that doesn't mean we always are. I trained, we used Macromedia Freehand, and we use Quark, and I haven't opened either of those programs in years.
Yeah, I will also think that because I have a friend just share with me that in San Francisco he work in San Francisco, and said they are new kind of business called disruptive business. It's trying to disrupt everything. When someone did this, and then you think of something totally different. But I'm not challenging the technology. But sometimes I would think, what is future? What is future design? Is future design means technology, or future design is go back to the normal? Try to plant the trees, trying to become a farmer. Is this the future? This is the future, or your future is like in the space? I think it's also a future.
Right.
So it depends how you see your future. Will we just drive a car in the sky, or in the future people just go back to walk?
I think they'll go back to bicycling before they go walking. Yeah, travel.
Yeah. So I think it's quite interesting. I think it has two groups of people, how you interpret future. So how you interpret future will make you hard to think in a design. For example, we work with the paper company, or we work on the packaging, we try to think how to become more environmental friendly, something like this.
No, that's great, and I don't think there is necessarily one person that's right on the future, and there's always that third way where you're like, that we're not even thinking about.
Yeah, I think no one knows the futures. Yeah.
Yeah, like we all thought they were going to be flying cars, but I think really it'll be self-driving cars.
Yeah, I think for example, you can notice that more and more people, especially in Hong Kong, because the government or many organizations already have many Go Green campaign. Encourage people to ride bicycle and recycle your waste, your rubbish, etc., etc. But you can go back to think that maybe 10 years ago, okay, 10 years ago, people don't ride bicycle, they drive car, and they think the future is have some even better cars, right?
Right.
But they didn't think that after 10 years ago that they ride bicycle. You see, it's very interesting. So what is the future? Is future means high technology? I think it should be included, but this high technology is help us to go back to the past or help us to push to even further. I think it's still a room to discuss, right?
And how do you think, as a designer, you can help affect this?
I think we, as a designer, we can always express our message in our projects or personal projects. For me, I will keep on working more paper-related projects. Try to let more people think that the value of some traditional materials. So hope more and more designers know the value. Because it's hard to explain that because it's we two kind of people. I also like technology, but it's quite in a dilemma, you know. Because you like the new technology, but at the same time, I always think that why every night I will check my Facebook, my Instagram, and didn't sleep, So
right.
I think it affects me a lot, but I do enjoy. But at the same time, my health is not good. So it's fighting each other. I hope the technology or one day or some. Also, I've attended a seminar here. There's a Tomorrow Machine.
Okay.
Also talking about packaging. I appreciate their attitude. They're trying to invent something is to plant your food by your own. I think it's also a very high technology, and it's a very new vision. It's to buy some packaging, but the packaging doesn't have anything. But when you go back, put it in a few days, you have food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So design do affect the future. So it depends on the how you think about your future is important. I would say it's two group of people. Some people want to go to space. Some people want to save the Earth. You know what I mean?
Right. All right. Well, Ken, it's great talking to you.
Thank you.
Check out Ken's work at blow.hk.
Yeah.
And it's good to see you. And maybe we'll catch up again sometime. We'll never know.
Yes. Nice to meet you.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.